Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to this. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. This is part three of our trilogy, sort of like Star Wars, but a lot worse. We're going to be talking all things domestic rugby. Nothing you'll be pleased to know about the World Rugby Awards. We've covered all that. But to break it all down with me, it's Phil Logan. Hello, Philip.
Hello, Jonathan. Good to finally be reunited with you.
Yeah, it is nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Particularly as we're doing my favourite subject, which is the Premiership.
The Avicii.
Yeah, there again. If I had to talk about award ceremonies every week, I'd be more than happy to do that.
Hanging out with all the celebs.
Oh, it happens, doesn't it?
Have you got any inside goss that you can tell me? Just something a little bit secret.
A little bit secret. Do you know what? We basically told you everything that we could tell you, except for the Scottish lads. I don't think had been to bed since their win. I mean, that is...
Oh, that is a good... That was a hell of a performance.
Yeah, I mean, that is a genuine thing that I'm pretty sure... They hadn't been to bed.
Brilliant.
Right, so this is the Premiership, well, the Premiership edition, the midweek domestic podcast. Before we get into it, just remember you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Jay Beardmore. You can find us at Rugby Podcast. Phil doesn't have a Twitter account because you're too important, aren't you?
I just like to kind of voyeur everything through the Egg Chasers account.
Exactly. Tim runs the Instagram, and also you can find him at Cocker. Right, let's talk about last week's games. Which game particularly stood out for you?
The game, the performance, and probably the result that stood out most. Oh, tough. So Worcester away at Leicester.
Has to be Worcester.
The other one is Exeter at Saracens.
Yeah, well... Yeah, I mean, I thought the Gloucester result was very impressive.
It was very impressive, but you mentioned it last week. I think Newcastle have flattered to deceive a little bit. I don't think they've been performing as well as they could have done this season. So I will caveat the Gloucester, great result, great scoreline, some brilliant tries, Purdy looking very good, but perhaps not as good as it could be because Newcastle are... misfiring a little bit.
So I'm going to join some dots together here.
Okay.
And the dots I want to join are the teams who seem to have added are not doing so well.
Okay.
So Sale Sharks at the moment are not doing particularly well. Not surprising, they had the most additions of all the teams in the Premiership. Newcastle added a lot of players, initially started very strongly, but they started strongly primarily with guys you started with from last year.
Yeah, yeah. So contractual stability, as a certain Ben Darwin might say.
Ben Darwin's law, which I always refer to. So that's not really a surprise. The one which really surprised me, and I think this is the most impressive game of the weekend, or the most impressive result, is that of Gloucester's.
Okay.
And just to put you in the picture of why I think it's impressive, it was the defensive display. I thought the Gloucester defence was mighty. And in the past, they have relied on having better players or more skillful players to unlock defences.
More skillful outside backs, really.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't seem to be any more. Now, I will caveat this by saying I'm not sure if it's sustainable. And do you want to know why I don't think it's sustainable?
I would be very intrigued because it does seem to be built on good foundations when you look at the work that Ackerman's done, in particular with the pack. But enlighten me.
Right, so, yes, Ackerman has done very, very good work.
They've got a good group of players, and they won away from home.
Yeah.
So they have only lost two games all season. One of which was an absolute trouncing to Sale.
Yeah.
Of all the teams.
Yeah.
I mean, it is absolutely bizarre. The reason I like this so much is because of the sheer work rate. Now, if I'm right, which I often am, obviously.
Always, I thought.
Exactly. Lewis Ludlow got 29 tackles.
Wow.
I mean, that is a big, big workload.
That's an enormous workload.
But it doesn't actually stop there, because if you look through the tackling stats, Lewis Ludlow got 29. I can't say his name, but let's call him Pelodry?
Pelodry. Jake Pelodry.
That's the boy?
Yeah.
24 tackles.
Yeah.
Tom Savage, 24 tackles.
Yeah.
Ackerman, 17. Thrush, 13. The reason... Oh, sorry. Simmons, 18. The reason I don't think it's sustainable is because that is a bigger workload than... Well, comfortably than anyone else this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just phenomenal. And you can't make 29 tackles, 24 tackles, 24 tackles, so on and so forth, consistently every week. You just can't do it.
Hopefully they won't have to, because they were playing Newcastle at Newcastle. Nice pitch, good condition. Well, relatively good conditions that game was in. So Newcastle had a lot of ball, a lot of pressure, and put it onto them. But they held out phenomenally. They held out brilliantly. So it will be interesting to see. Mm. I don't expect those tackle stats to be replicated week in, week out. They can't be, because no team is getting that much ball, that much possession in a normal game, normal circumstances.
Yeah, so the question is, if they're not unlocking teams, and they are actually playing good attacking rugby too, but if they're not unlocking teams and they've got to rely on their defence and they're not hitting those sort of numbers, which are extraordinary numbers, what next?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be very, very hard to replicate, but hopefully they can.
Yeah, and right now they are. Right now they are unlocking defences as well. So they're putting in the defensive shift. They've got a good platform for the forwards, and you've got some boys outside who are dangerous with ball in hand.
And I'm going to just mention one guy in particular, Henry Purdy.
Yeah.
He has a very special talent, it seems to me, to hit the line at his maximum speed. I mean, he's not a big lad from what I can tell. I mean, maybe I'll look him up and he's 6'2 and 120 kgs. I don't think
I can tell you, I've not looked him up. He's not 120 kgs.
He just hits the line at such pace.
Yeah.
Great timing. And I just can't understand for the life of me why Gloucester have decided that the best way to close out a game is to move Billy 12 trees to 10. They're twice now.
Billy. Playing like only Billy 12 Trees can.
Yeah. So the makeup of the Premiership table at the moment, right?
Yeah.
Is Exeter Chiefs have got the most wins at 7.
Yeah.
And then the next 4 teams.
Yeah.
Have 6 wins.
Yeah.
And then the next down to 9 have 4 or 5 wins.
Yeah.
So when you get to Sale at 3. So I guess the point is, anyone really is looking at top four, all the way down to Sale, who I completely wrote off. But just looking at how the league is shaping up, is completely possible.
Yeah, you'd say so. And I would like to, interestingly, just extend that one more. So you've extended it to Sale, who are on 3 wins. I'd probably just extend it one more to Worcester, who are on 2 wins, but 2 consecutive wins. And we mentioned it last week, we mentioned it last year as well, the halfback honeymoon period.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got John O'Lance and Houhard.
Yep.
And also Ryan Mills. So you've kind of got 3 ball players, and they're again, they've got good foundations, they've got a good solid pack. Some young English guys like Singleton and Will Spence are doing some really nice things. And then you've got this exciting, ambitious attacking back line as well. Yeah,
and at some point they're gonna get Ben Tao back.
Yep.
Which is going to be mighty impressive.
Who I think will probably slot in at 13.
It looks like it, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. But having him as an option as well, so you can play ball outside, or having him as either a decoy runner or as a direct running option, because he was, well, I was going to say at the start of the season, let's go back a tiny bit, the Lions tour, he was playing pretty well.
Yeah, completely agree. The best centre of his type.
Yeah, that is, well, not currently fit, but that was fit at the time.
Mm, completely agree. I don't know how he quite fits into this team, actually, because Ryan Mills does give him a little bit of extra width. He's a second playmaker. Benteo simply isn't that. Maybe he plays 13.
Yeah,
but 13. You know, they're pretty well served there.
I think 13. I think he comes in at 13, and you keep the overall shape, but you just have a bit more power and dynamism at 13.
You know, if I'm Worcester, I keep the players that are winning. I keep Benteo on the bench, and I bring him on with 30 minutes to go.
Finisher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been used like that by Eddie Jones. I'm pretty certain he could be used like that by Worcester.
Absolutely, he could be. But Eddie Jones does have a bit more base level firepower to choose from.
He does.
And also, one of your one of your old adages is money plays.
Money plays.
And he's, if not the most expensive, he's in that bracket of the most expensive players at Worcester.
Well, I think I'd be tempted just to let him play his way back into the team.
Yeah.
You know, give him 30 minutes, see how he goes. You know, bags a try, start him for the next game.
Yeah.
But I'd actually say out of the two of them, Ryan Mills is probably more important. And I don't think it's a coincidence, you know, that Pennell is fit and has started to win.
Yeah. Yeah, because you've got Heeman, Adams, Josh Adams on the wings who are doing... Like, Josh Adams looks brilliant.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah. The try he scored at the weekend was magnificent. But you need that kind of slightly more secure and sensible, slightly older head now, Chris Pennell.
Yeah, I do wonder how much of the very exciting performance that we saw from Worcester, probably including a try of the season candidate from Jack Singleton. I do wonder how much of that is down to Leicester not being particularly good.
I was just going to come on to that. It's interesting because Leicester, they're always good at home, almost no matter who they put out. But then you look down this team and it's really not pretty. It's not vintage Leicester.
No, it's not.
They're missing a load of guys through internationals. They're missing guys through injury. But it's pretty sparse.
Well, Tolisso Vianu's got a few international caps. And you look down...
Tolisso Vianu's class.
Yeah. And he is genuinely a very good player.
Yeah.
After
but
that, the entire back line, I don't think we've got a single international cap amongst them.
No, and of them, how many of them are even first choice at Leicester?
None, really. I mean, Adam Thompson, maybe?
Maybe.
Nick Maloof, to be fair, is...
Do you reckon?
Well, they can't both be, can they? Because Johnny May plays.
Yeah, so, well, yeah.
I mean, they're sort of first team players, maybe not first name on the team sheet.
So you might say one of those two is.
Mm.
And then of the pack, none of the front row?
No, actually. Mike Fitzgerald, Graham Kitchen might have an A Saxon's cap somewhere. Mike Williams nearly did, Brendan Conlon, though, and Mapalangi probably has got a few Tongan caps. And that is it. So it's actually a pretty poor side.
It is a poor side. And they played like it. They were put under pressure by a decent on-the-day Warriors side. So it'll be interesting to see how things turn around, because there'll be incentives to give the England boys and other internationals a rest. Leicester need them back more than ever.
100%.
So George Ford.
Yeah.
I mean, how did Leicester play a game without George Ford? Johnny May. Can they afford to play without Johnny May? Genge and Cole.
They've got to get them all in.
Yeah.
There isn't a team in the Premiership that drop off quicker than Leicester when their first teamers are away. I'd even include Quinn's in that.
Yeah, I would as well.
Because I think the Quinn second team isn't too bad. They managed to beat Saracen's second team, so
yeah,
you know, not too bad at all. Going back to Worcester a second, they have got an enormous game this weekend. They have Sale down in six ways, and I cannot call that. I mean, we'll talk about it more later, but what was the time to have it?
Yeah, Worcester riding high. Sale, they got a win, but they didn't play particularly well.
Well, probably
the most important thing is grinding out the win, though.
It is. I mean, this was so important for Sale. I can't stress how important it was. They're currently on 3 wins. They stayed on 2 wins. They are almost caught by Worcester, who could have overtaken them with a win this weekend.
Yeah.
And also, they're in a funny situation now because, I mean, I wrote an article for Talking Rugby Union about the place that they find themselves. Steve Diamond is away from that club now for 6 weeks, and they are bloody lucky that he is away over basically an Anglo-Welsh month. So they've got Cardiff, they've got Lyon, they've got Cardiff again, and they've got Toulouse, and then he should be back after that. So they only missed 2 games in the Premiership without him.
And yeah, their focus has to be on the Premiership. It's not quite yet their focus is survival, but that is... Mm. If they've got any ambitions of getting top six, which we know they do and certainly did have at the start of the season, well, that's the only thing they can
do. No one's ever made the top four with any more than 8 losses. They are currently on 5 losses.
6 losses.
6 losses, sorry.
6 losses.
Yeah, so top six is quite conceivably doable. Now, what I do like about what they've done is they play their strongest team no matter what. So you might say, in the case of Leicester, hey, it's Anglo-Welsh weekend, let's rest all the boys, or it's, you know, European Challenge Cup, don't need to. Well, it's important that Sale do, because their team cohesion has to improve week on week, and the only way you can do that is to throw them in every week.
So, I do agree with that because of the position that Sale find themselves in. Mm. The downside of that is, just you're playing week in, week out, there is a mental and physical fatigue to doing that.
Do you know, I don't think it is that great, but if you're an England player, you're playing week in, week out, but you're just playing in different teams. If you're at Sale Sharks, you're just playing in Sale Sharks. So I don't actually think it is that great, and also the intensity you're playing at is typically lower, because if you're playing Anglo-Welsh or Challenge Cup or a Premiership weekend without internationals, you're still getting your game time in. But not like Owen Farrell is getting his game time in against Clermont and the All Blacks or whoever it is.
True, but one of the big things is at this stage of the season, all of the players will have at least 2 or 3 knocks. Like they'll have rolled an ankle, they'll have got a dead leg, they'll have got a strained ligament in a hand or thumb or something like that. And that's the kind of thing that if you have 2 weeks off, you get over them. But they all start to compound at this stage of the season.
Well, my real worry for them is the team that they played against, Northampton, simply just aren't very good.
They're not... Well, we spoke about Northampton so much. I can't work them out. They've got good players. They've got potential. There are times when they look excellent, and there are other times when they look like they don't know what they're doing.
Well, yeah, I think Northampton will be, ironically, quite happy with this result. They went out with a back line who you just wouldn't recognise. I mean, when I say wouldn't recognise, if you met them in the street, you simply wouldn't know who Stevenson, Hutchinson, Estrella and James Grayson were. They'd all be in a bar together, and you would not know that those four had started a Premiership game that day, even though you cover the Premiership.
Yeah.
So they're not exactly household names, to put it mildly. This has happened because they were so disappointed with last week's result at Worcester. So they will be able to hang their hat on something, which is they've gone up to the AJ Bell. They've actually played relatively well, and they've only just lost. They could have tied the game. They actually went and tried to win it twice.
Yeah, the disappointment would be they scored 2 early tries. You kind of think, yeah, they're on top. They can convert this, and then they've fallen away. They've let Sale get back into the game. Some soft defence, some soft kind of... set piece plays, some soft line speed, and Sale come back into it and ultimately win.
Yeah, both these teams are, in my mind, in a similar sort of situation, which is they can't afford any injuries. I mean, Sale in particular. If they got an injury to, say, John O'Ross, that could be... an injury to Faf de Klerk at this point. It is basically Faf de Klerk's team against everyone else, so... An injury to either of those two boys and they would be done for. I really think that.
Yeah.
Who else?
Other results. So Bath comfortably beat Harlequins. Yeah. It felt like 2 weakened teams, this. But Bath, in particular, Zach Mercer, Paul Grant played well, and Freddie Burns. Freddie Burns looking good.
I just want to make this point on Bath. Don't really care much for Harlequins at the moment. They got comfortably beaten. Bath are bizarre. They currently sit third in the table. They've got the second best record in the league, joint second best.
Yep.
And they just seem to fill their ranks with anyone they can find. I mean, we've got young Englishman James Wilson.
Yeah. Who's, what, 34? No, 35? Who kind of came in, was released by Northampton and just came in midway through the season to plug a gap.
Was he or something?
Was he?
Yeah, young Englishman James Wilson, who's 35 and a Kiwi. They're looking for a additional hooker. So that's not going to be a big name. That's just going to be a guy that you can just, you know, get off the streets.
Yeah.
You know, you're a big lad. You look like you can play a bit. Can you throw in? Congratulations, back contract. In fact, no, forget it.
Are you tempted?
Yeah. I mean, there's the likes of Aled Brew.
Yeah.
And fair play to him. He's actually shown up really, really well.
He has. He's been, because he played last season and he didn't have the best season last season. He's actually doing pretty well. He's finishing his tries. He's making meters.
Yeah. He actually looks like just a run-of-the-mill Premiership winger, which sounds like I'm damning with faint praise. I guess I am. But that's more than what you'd expect if you were to sign him last year.
Yeah.
Peronisi's basically a retread. You look at all these guys and you think, it's not. Scott Andrews. Scott Andrews, for the longest time, was a bit of a byword for a joke in Welsh rugby. But here he is playing at Bath.
Well, they have got Autorak and Lahif back. Mm. Did you see Max Lahif chasing down
Ibitoye? I did. He looked quick.
It's unbelievably quick for someone who is the best part of 120 kg.
Yeah, he's a good athlete, isn't he?
He is.
There's no two ways about it.
That was pretty impressive. It was a hell of a try by Ibitoye. It was a brilliant try all round because it was the Bath break, ball goes loose, and Gabriel Ibitoye speeds in from 60, 70, 80 yards.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing to say about Harlequins, I guess, is I quite like the look of James Lang. I know he's an RGC lad. Ding.
Ding, yeah.
But, you know, I do think he looks good at 12. He's a big physical specimen, got good all-round skills. I think he might do something.
Do you think he will keep his place with JR back?
Hard to say. Depends what you want to do with your team.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, Jamie Roberts is a leader, one of the best players of his generation.
Defense. So they've conceded 38 points. He'll lead the defensive line in the backs.
Yeah.
I mean, give the defensive shape.
Money plays.
There we go. There's your answer.
Yeah. He's not going to keep his. He'd have to be exceptional to keep his place over Jamie Roberts. I think at the moment, he's kind of hovering around competent to good.
Yeah. Competent Premiership players.
Yeah.
Then, so the other ones, firstly, we'll just briefly touch London Irish losing 13-17 to Wasps.
Yeah, Wasps are about to take off. I'm sure of this.
So, Sippers is back, right?
Kind of.
So, back off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's got to be good to get the two playmakers.
And Eastman as well.
The best axis that they had last season, like the core of all of their great performances last season, was the Cipriani-Gopeth axis.
Correct.
If you can get that back and firing with boys like Wade and Willie LaRue, who actually looked good for one of the first times I've seen him this season.
Yeah, Willie LaRue really came through this game well. I think he had like 128
meters. More than 100, more than 100 meters made.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah.
I do think Wasps are about to turn the corner, though. I don't know how far they're going to get this season, because I do think they're substantially weaker than they were. But, you know, they've got good players and they're coming back into fitness.
Yeah, and the flip side of this is London Irish. They're at home against a weakened Wasps team, and they were in the game for a long period, and then there's this 10-minute spell when Wasps scored their three tries 60, 70 minutes in, and that's it. They're done. They lost another game.
These teams that get promoted aren't paying attention to the bit of the manual where it's you've got to pay attention for the whole game, because if you turn off for 10 minutes, it's over, it's done, you're gone.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And the last game was Saracens versus Exeter.
Yeah, Now, interesting.
I didn't see any of this.
So, I've seen the highlights. Saracens started very brightly. Two tries up, and Exeter, in typical Exeter fashion, grind their way back into it. Know their way to the line. Murray Lowe scores with less than 10 minutes to go. And Steenson kicks a couple of conversions and a couple of penalties to pinch it by a point. Or a couple of points.
The most amazing thing about this... Well, there's two things which I like. Well, I don't like, but two interesting bits of information. Saracens have lost four on the bounce.
Ooh.
Two Anglo Cup games, Anglo Welsh Cup games.
Okay.
And then two Premiership games.
Okay, we can. I think we can overlook the Anglo Welsh Cup.
Not sure you can.
Just there'll be no players. So Saracens aren't like your beloved Sale, where they play the same team every time. This Saracens Anglo Welsh Cup is very different to their Premiership.
Maybe. maybe. And also Exeter. And the thing I love the most is, look at the past results between Saracens and Exeter, and you can see them closing the gap.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to call Saracens the Borg. I think it's more apt for Exeter.
Well,
because they learn, adapt, they maintain the standard, they learn, adapt.
Yeah, I mean, and they're both more than the sum of their parts.
God, yeah.
Yeah. You've got two directors. So it was an off day. Saracens missing half a dozen. More than half a dozen absolutely key players. I mean, having to have Max Mullins starting rather than Farrell or Lazowski. I'm sure Max Mullins is a talented player and got a huge amount of potential, but he's not an experienced Premiership operator. And going into a game like this...
Well, I mean, let's hope he's not, because Saracens will have to pay him, and they're already paying God knows how much to Farrell
to the other two. Not a vintage Saracens side. But they're still
Saracens at home in the league against Exeter Chiefs
with 10 internationals, or in the region of 10 internationals. So it is. I don't want to take anything away from Exeter, because this was a very good performance, and they are missing players too.
Yeah, they are. I mean, it still hasn't happened for Exeter yet that their team is ravaged by international call-ups. And I don't know what that says about how they're built, or the quality of player, or maybe what that says about Eddie Jones and his ability to pick a team. I mean, I don't know. But it just doesn't affect them like it affects other teams, which is, you know, good for them.
Yeah, it is.
Pro 12?
The only game that I've seen anything of was
Ulster with your sneaky...
What a victory. What a tremendous, tremendous...
Against my Bellingtonians.
What a result. What a performance. Sufton.
If I'm going to start supporting Benetton, right?
Yeah.
It was Benetton that they beat.
It was Benetton.
Or is it Treviso?
So I'm looking right now on BBC's website, and they've got them down as Benetton.
Right.
Let me just go to... So I'm on ESPN, and they've got them also as Benetton. Well, they actually list them as Benetton Treviso. So,
I get corrected on this on Twitter all the time. Anyway, it doesn't matter, because my shirt's in the post.
Yeah, really? Have you ordered one?
I am. I'm going to go and watch them sometime in 2018.
Nice.
You're coming as well.
I'd love to come.
Yeah, well, probably is. Did Ulster play home or away?
This was at home.
So the away fixture to come.
Yes.
There we go.
Yeah. On the Pro 14, Guinness Pro 14 official website, they are listed as Benetton Rugby. They've dropped the Treviso name.
There we are.
If anyone cares about that.
Anyone cares, let us know.
Yeah.
The for me, the result of the weekend was Glasgow absolutely spanking Ospreys at Ospreys with no players.
Just scraping 23.
Yeah, I mean, it's an okay 15 that they talk. You'll recognise the names, they're kind of in and out of the squad, but you know, you want to talk about Saracens getting depleted or Leicester Tigers getting depleted. Well, this is a whole new ball game.
Yeah.
Of depletion to a squad, and something's going to have to change at Ospreys. Something's going to have to change big time there, because they are garbage. They are absolutely garbage, and they've got no excuse for it.
Yeah.
Have you heard the transfer news today?
Scott Williams.
Scott Williams, yeah.
That feels like an interest. I mean, okay, so do Scarlets need what is now three Welsh centres?
It seems though you wouldn't want to lose that one.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm definitely with you on that. But Gatland called up Hadley Parks ahead of Scott Williams, didn't he?
Yeah, well, was that just because he wanted to get him capped?
Because
if he didn't get capped, he falls into the new five-year rule.
No, that's not true.
Oh, was that not true?
No, it's not right, that.
So
he can get he can get capped in, well, any time in the next couple of years.
Oh, have you heard the other news?
No, but I'm sure you'll tell me.
Yes, I have solved the eligibility crisis.
I did see some news about the eligibility crisis.
What's your news? And I'll tell you how I've solved it.
Okay, the news was that Sir Charles has said he wants to play for Tonga at the next World Cup.
Well, he can't, because he's an All Black.
I know, but if...
An actual All Black.
So our previous discussions were about people moving down the chain, not up the chain.
Mm-hmm.
So if you play for All Blacks, you can then go to play for Tonga. If you play for Tonga, you can't then be picked for the All Blacks.
Well, sadly, my solution won't help Charles Pietau.
Okay.
Because my solution is purely for countries like Wales and South Africa and Australia, where you're losing talent to other leagues. So, do you know this silly exclusion thing? You've got to have 60 caps for Wales or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Fundamentally, my point relies on this premise, which is it doesn't make sense that if you haven't made the national team yet, or you haven't achieved certain things in the national team yet, that you would need to stay in that environment to do things in the national team.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example. If I am an uncapped player,
yeah,
and I've spent 10 years at a region, and I've still not achieved a cap, let alone 60, I don't think it's unreasonable that I should move away. Because, in effect, the current rules mean you have to be a Welsh international to stay a Welsh international. So, if the system isn't working for you as an individual, like the system might not have been working for Dylan Armitage or Stefan Armitage,
yep,
going away did make you a better player. As long as you've done your stint trying to get into the national team in that framework,
okay,
you say, okay, fine. And the reason I say this is, look at Rhys Webb. 10 years at Ospreys.
Yeah.
He's done his stint for Welsh rugby. He might not have the caps, but he's done his stint within the framework. Let him move on. That way you keep your players in your nation. And if it doesn't work out for them there, they can go elsewhere and improve.
So what would your stint be? Just a period of time in...
Either time under contract or minimum appearances.
But at a regional level rather than a national level?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And a national level, well, you know, it's not your fault, is it, if you happen to be behind Dan Carter or whoever, you know, an all-time great who never gets dropped, like Alan Wynne-Jones. If you're behind Alan Wynne-Jones for your entire career, you're not going to get a dual national contract. You're not going to get the contract that you probably deserve money-wise. So why can't you go to Bath or Gloucester or somewhere?
Yeah.
Solved. Done it again.
Once again, Bimor saves the day.
Correct.
Any other games you want to talk about before we get onto the fixtures for next week?
No, thank you.
Okay. Shall we start with the Pro 14?
Yep, go for it.
Okay, Friday 1st of December. Southern Kings host Edinburgh.
Southern Kings host Edinburgh. This feels losable. It does feel losable.
By Edinburgh?
Yeah.
Edinburgh.
Southern Kings to lose, but maybe not by as much as we think.
I think Southern Kings might sneak this. So they put in a decent shift against a depleted but still good Scarlets team. And they've not yet won a game, so maybe this is where they break their duck.
Yeah, it does feel like a good game to win this one.
Okay, Glasgow host Cardiff.
Glasgow.
Feels predictable. Dragons host Ulster.
Dragons host Ulster.
Oh, please.
Ulster.
Please, I hope. Hope.
Yeah, all the good news around...
I hope Ulster build until our visit and the... They know they've got to impress us, so they should be building now to our attendance.
What do you make of the Ross Moriarty debacle?
It feels like a bit of a step down.
Yes, I mean, he's going to be the highest paid player in Wales, allegedly.
Really?
Yeah.
Whew.
A lot of money, that, isn't it, for the Dragons?
It's a lot of money for the Dragons. You always say you want players earning as much as they possibly can.
Good for him.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of... I mean, I don't really care is the answer. Because Welsh rugby, or should I say the idiots that support Welsh rugby, will make this into some sort of crisis. And it's not fair. It's WRU money or some such thing. I just got a feeling it's going to cause more problems than it actually works out. Like, one region is controlled by the WRU, from what I understand. Everything else is private. But you know what? It's such a mess. I don't even want to talk about it. But Ross Moriarty's going there. Who knows? We might even have George North there at some point.
Yeah.
Ulster to win.
I hope Ulster win. Then Zebre. I think I'm saying that right. Mm-hmm. Host Connacht.
Hang on. Zebre. Yes.
Zebre.
Host Connacht. Give me Zebre.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Zebre as well. Then. Benetton host Leinster.
Benetton.
Leinster. You'll be wearing your Benetton shirt.
Yep.
Munster host Ospreys.
Munster. Yep.
The Cheetahs host Scarlets. That'd be an interesting game.
Cheetahs. Yeah, that'd be a bloody brilliant game.
Yeah. There'd be some attacking rugby in that one.
Minimum tries scored?
Let's go for 9.
No less than 9 tries scored in that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
When is that game?
It is 5:35 on Saturday the 2nd of December.
Ooh.
Oh, I'm in a...
What are you doing?
My miserable life. I'm at a carol concert.
Ugh.
Actually, it's not a carol concert. It's
cello?
A choir concert. Ugh. Yeah. It's not carols.
Oh, that hurts my heart.
Oh, dear. I'll catch up on the Sunday morning.
I just don't understand what certain people get out of making other people go to things which are so blatantly horrific.
Because some people enjoy that kind of thing.
Yeah, but you don't enjoy this kind of thing.
I know.
I mean, I would have to put my foot down there and say, no, this is a stupid idea. Anyway,
that's the...
Do you know what? That's like me getting my wife to come and watch me participate in jiu-jitsu when she has no interest in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that. Although I would enjoy jiu-jitsu far more than choir concert.
Yeah. Next one.
Premiership.
Here we go. No, so, you have saved a game of the week, I hope.
No, but I will tell you yes. Okay. Yeah, let's go. We've already spoke about that a little bit. So, Friday 7:45, Northampton host Newcastle. Two underperforming teams right now. Both will be desperate for a win.
Northampton have their boys back.
Yeah.
They're at home. They've
got Big Dills back, but will he play?
I think he will, actually. And they're at the Gardens. Formidable. Northampton, but only just.
Yeah, give me Northampton. Saturday.
Sale.
Are we not doing a game of the week?
Oh, okay, fine.
Thought you'd be extra pleased about that one. Right, Saturday, 2 p.m, Exeter host Bath.
So, the Bath will fill out 15 shirts with somebody.
Yeah.
And Exeter will be Exeter. There's no way Bath can win this. I mean, they will play the game. At some point, Bath will look competitive. Exeter will win this, probably by a margin that does not reflect the dominance that Exeter actually had.
Yeah, I think Exeter will be fairly comfortable in this one. I think by two clear scores, Exeter win.
Mm-hmm.
Then Gloucester host London Irish.
Gloucester.
It would be pretty Gloucestery and also pretty Quinsy if Gloucester back up a great win with a terrible loss.
Yeah, but it's like three great wins on.
Yeah, so give me Gloucester as well. London Irish have shown little. And they can defend, but they can only defend for so long. And the problem is they're not scoring points.
Correct.
So, Gloucester to win that one. Then, Wasps host Leicester.
Now,
East Midlands derby.
This is interesting because Wasps are just starting to fire again.
Yeah.
They've got the most important thing to them, which is talent.
Yeah.
Now they've got their talent back, they might be in a position to do something. With that said, Leicester have also got their talent back. And they are also very, very reliant on their first 15. So the one thing I know about this game is it's going to be a straight shootout between this 80 minutes and the 80 minutes played between Scarlets and Cheetahs to who will score the most tries in a game. This could quite easily be, 70 points in the entire game? 40-30, something like that?
Oh, yeah. I think it could be.
This one could go off.
If Leicester's talent plays, because the reason I'm just caveating it slightly is they have to rest them at some point. They have to rest them for league games.
Well, they've got Anglo-Welsh after this.
Yeah, but they don't count in terms of that, so they can only play a limited number of Premiership games.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, as in Johnny May and George Ford are limited, so they cannot play in every single game.
Is it minutes or games?
I think it's games. As in, you can't just take them off after 60 minutes every single game and like you skip one third of the games.
I didn't see why not. I think that's fairly reasonable. Do you not think that's reasonable?
Well, if you're going to take that approach, you'd then have to go, well, actually, how much work did they do? Because you could have 60 minutes and make two tackles, or you could do a Lewis Ludlow and have 60 minutes and make 29 tackles. So if you're going to do minutes, you might as well actually do, well, how many interactions did they have?
I agree with that, but there again, I mean, I don't think you actually save a guy. So minutes does make more sense to me, because when you have the GPS units on and you're monitoring injuries, there are far more injuries whilst players are under fatigue.
Yeah.
So why would you risk the guys for games rather than minutes when actually it's the fatigue which is going to do it for them? But a guy like Sam Underhill,
fatigue will be on either. Fatigue will come from either.
Well, 60 minutes. I think if you did every game at 60 minutes, you'd probably get less injuries than if you had less games. Because you're doing,
I don't know,
combined work.
Because this comes back to the point I made earlier about clearing the knocks. Clearing those minor knocks. Yeah, and having a clear break of 2 weeks is, I think, more important than not playing the extra 10 or 20 minutes.
Probably right, actually, on that. Also, I guess it depends on the player. Sam Underhill, as I mentioned him just a second ago, you don't want him playing every game because every tackle might be his last.
Yeah. You've got to wrap him up in cotton wool, but you need him to be playing. I think he needs to look at someone like Michael Hooper, who is a similar size and weight, I think. Maybe even Michael Hooper's a bit smaller, but puts himself about, but has like good technique and good robustness and good athleticism, as well as putting in some big hits.
But I've got a feeling that it's not about the technique, it's about what Sam Underhill actually likes to do. I mean, I think he likes to bang. That's what he does.
Oh, yeah. He definitely likes it, but is he will also like earning significant amount of money playing for Bath in England.
That is
if
true.
If that finishes, he's not going to like it very much.
No. That's
so, Wasps Leicester, who's your money on?
Where has it been played?
The Rico.
I think Wasps are just sort of rounding back into form. This game might be a game too early for them.
But Leicester away? It all depends on the team sheet. I think if Johnny May and George Ford and Genji, those three are key.
Cole?
Silliers is a good replacement for Cole, although having Cole on the bench is... Cole's a very good scrummager. If those three play... Give me Wasps.
Yeah,
just give me Wasps.
Because the two guys who definitely won't play, I'm pretty sure, are Tamua.
Tamua and Tuilagi.
And Tuilagi.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. This one's a complete coin toss. Coin toss.
Then Sunday, 3 p.m. Quinns host Saracens.
Ooh. Saracens back to full strength.
Again, dependent on people they rest, because bearing in mind, all these clubs then go into 2 weeks of European Champions Cup.
Mm. So, the rest thing for Saracens is even more interesting, because it was in the Times today that Mark McCall is very happy with Eddie Jones for being sensible with Owen Farrell's game time.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if they're kind of going to some sort of inverse arms race here, where they're trying to compete to see who can play him less.
Yeah.
And I hope that isn't the case. It would seem weird, though, if he played him for the whole game. But they've also got Lozowski back.
Yeah.
And they've got a couple of others. Farrell is clearly the most important. Farrell plays. They must win.
Yeah. I think Saracens will win this. I think, like I said, if they've lost two on the bounce on the league...
Four in total?
Yeah.
One of which was to Quinns.
Yeah. They'll have their internationals back. So Mako didn't start at the weekend.
Nope.
So that's good. Farrell didn't start at the weekend. That's good. Itoje has played a bit. Cruz has been playing for Saracens. Big Billy's not going to be back anytime soon. But... I think they'll be all right. And they'll have Maitland back after his stint beating the Aussies.
Great mates. Can't wait for that.
Yeah. So give me Saracens. And then...
Our game of the week where you can win. There you go.
not quite Cocker-esque. That,
I can't hear it. I've not got my headphones.
That intro.
All right.
Nice try.
Thanks to our partners at Leo Vegas, we can bring you our game of the week. Go and visit Leo Vegas. Not only do they sponsor us, they also sponsor Leicester Tigers. They are serious about their rugby union, much as we are, which is why our game of the week this week is who, Phil?
Well, we often look towards the top end of the table, some of the glamour ties, but this week we are turning our attention to what is potentially a relegation battle. Albeit, they both won last week, and Worcester won two on the bounce. It is Worcester hosting Sale Sharks at Six Ways.
Hmm. Yes. This is pretty tough. Well, first things first. Sale have the better team on paper, I think.
I would probably go with that, yeah.
They also have... quite comfortably the better back row. I think they've probably got one of the best back rows in the entire Premiership.
Yeah.
The problem comes with everything else. So, the front five can be good in fits and starts.
Yeah.
Bryn Evans is absolutely key to everything that they do. Everyone else is basically replaceable. They're quite good, but they're simply replaceable.
Competent Premiership players, as you've described.
Yeah, like Ross Harrison, who performs week in, week out, does an 80-minute shift, he's not really battering people. He works hard, and, that's pretty good.
He works damn hard, and he is a good Premiership player.
Yeah, he is. Do you know what? He would be perfect for Exeter.
Yeah.
He would be an amazing Exeter Chiefs player.
He would fit in nicely, actually.
Yeah.
With his work rate and capability and availability. I mean, the man never seems to be injured.
No, he is actually very, very good.
Very robust.
And I think the problem they've got is, although the back row is a clear reflection of where this team wants to go, everything else is a little bit of a muddle, and it's like, who can we get? Who is the best player at this time to get in? And you've sort of got to force this all into one sort of mould. The backs is in a similar sort of vein.
Now, is this the two most exciting scrum halves in the league?
Yes, I'd say so. But Sale have a big problem.
Okay.
Which is when Faf de Klerk loses, the team lose.
Okay.
So if he's been...
If you get under Faf's skin,
yeah,
so to speak.
Or if he's been outplayed. I tell you what, a great example of that would be Harlequins away.
Yeah.
Danny Kerr completely unlocked them.
Danny Kerr is having a great season.
Quietly.
Yeah.
Having a great season.
Yeah. He's doing some very nice things at the moment.
So, if Faf de Klerk gets outplayed, they are probably done. They are probably done for. As for Worcester, I mean, we spoke about before, they are such a powerful backline.
Mm.
I mean, lads like Hammond or Bento probably won't be fit. What exactly is it?
An ankle injury, I think, a lower leg injury.
Yeah, well, they're very explosive and they're very powerful, and they're quite a lot more direct than Sale too. I mean, Sale are direct through Jennings, occasionally. They'll have Janzi von Rensburg ready to come in.
Yeah. But do you think he will start?
I don't see the point in it, to be honest.
Do you not think he's an upgrade on Jennings? Jennings is a good, hard-running centre.
I don't see how he can be. I don't see how you can bring in a guy, have him in the building for 2 weeks, and then for him to fit in better than the guy who's been running the show for however long. And the thought process... Sorry, Phil.
Yeah. I was just going to say, running the show. So Jennings is a good... He's a strong runner. He's a hard runner. He's a direct runner. He's not a controlling ball playing 12.
More so than you think.
But Rohan Janzi von
Rensburg.
I can't say it now.
Definitely isn't.
That way, he's none of that. But in terms of an athletic, hard-running, direct-running centre... I mean, how many better in the world are there?
He might be the best young. He might be the best young centre in the world.
Laumapi, perhaps.
Yeah, that's a very good comparison.
There's not many others who are as potent as him at what he does.
Ben Tail.
Yeah, he's in that conversation.
Yeah, completely agree. The problem is he's been there for 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing as well, and this simply just doesn't ring true to this, to the caliber of signing that he is. The official line out of Sale was, we want someone to cover Jennings because we are afraid that Jennings will run out of steam. This isn't cover, okay? This is a replacement.
Yeah.
And it's a replacement for 3 months. That makes no sense whatsoever. If you're Saracens and you want to win the league, by all means, find yourself a 3 month replacement.
When Cruz and Itoje last year were Autumn Internationals, then Six Nations, bring in someone like Skelton.
Yes.
That makes sense.
This does not make sense.
Yeah.
And I was mentioning again, I have written a piece about this. And simply the only reason it can be for is to artificially, not artificially boost, but to boost the league position of Sale so certain targets are met. When really, they should be saying, right, well, we've got a great academy, let's play our academy lads.
Yeah.
As it happens, I've heard... Von Rensburg might be signing for Gloucester next year on a 3-year deal anyway.
Really? So Ackerman's bringing him in? Bringing in another boy in?
So you're giving this guy a bit of a taste of cash, a bit of a taste of high life in the AJ Bell in Carrington. Hopefully you can seal him next year. Maybe not. So I don't like the signing. He might be really good for one or two games. But he might just not fit in because he doesn't know how to play the game.
Just get Faf to pass straight to... Von Rensburg.
Well, do you know a great example of this? I love Tim not being here. I can talk about whatever I want. A great example of this would be someone like AJ McGinty, who really struggled in his first year because he didn't know exactly what Paul Deacon required him to do in that attack. God knows how Von Rensburg's going to deal with it in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It took AJ a year. So,
just one quick question before we wrap up this and give our winners and losers. So, Rensburg wore 21 on his back when he played last week, which is normally the reserve scrum half
right
position. Will Cliff wore number 22.
Hmm.
Do you know, is there some superstition from Rensburg about the number 22?
Not heard it. I mean,
it seemed odd.
Just trying to think how it worked, because Will Cliff is kicking as well. Did he come on? Because they don't carry an extra fly half on the bench. AJ would have been away with USA.
Yeah, so yeah. There was no. But normally nine reserve would wear 21. Your kind of inside back reserve would wear number 22, and your outside back reserve would wear number 23.
They only carried two backs on the bench.
No, they carried three because Josh Charnley was there. So Josh Charnley was wearing number 3, outside 23, inside.
Don't know, and I would ask, but I'm still banned. So that's the end of that.
Okay, predictions.
I've got a feeling the pressure might be a little bit too much for Sale. New team. On one hand, I can see him grinding it out. On the other hand, I can see him getting completely blown away by Worcester attacking hard. Maybe it comes down to rain. If it rains, Sale wins. Mm. If it's nice and dry, Worcester win.
The rain is less of a factor because of the plastic pitch, but it is still a factor.
Mm.
I'm going for Worcester.
I think
Worcester at home, and that makes, I mean, in one respect, it makes the league less interesting, because my prediction then is that London Irish are 10 points adrift and two wins adrift as well. But on the other side, it makes it more interesting because Worcester are actually throwing themselves into the mix and they're on a roll for the top six position.
To tell you what, it's a lot of money to spend at Sale to come
11th.
It's a hell of a lot of work. So it's a large amount to increase your salary cap by.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to... I think... I don't know. I don't know. So bet on that. I don't know.
Bet on uncertainty.
You think Worcester by how much?
Less than 7. Worcester by 2 or 3 points it'll be. Because I think Sale will keep it tight, but I think Worcester will have enough.
Yeah, do you know what? Here we go. I think the worst thing that Sale can do is keep it tight. I think they do their best work when they're playing the forward pack off 9 and then playing little patterns out the back. If they do that, they can outscore Worcester. I think the pressure will mean that they go tight. If they go tight, they will lose. They're going to lose by 7 points.
You've heard it here first.
Boom. There you go.
Go to Leo Vegas. Actually, let's not be too specific. Go to Leo Vegas. Have a look. Good website. Great odds.
Great people.
Yeah.
Gamble responsibly.
Yes. Absolutely.
What else do I want to tell you, Phil, before we go?
Any other news? I've been like, the last few days I've been completely out of action. In terms of the world, the environment, rugby news. Is there any big stories that I will have missed?
Hang on. Tim sent us a message, right? Because he was so keen for us not to miss any bits and pieces. It would be remiss of us not to read that message.
Didn't the message just say, don't spend all podcasts talking about Sale?
He said, keep it to 20 minutes.
On Sale.
Moriarty Dragons got that. Worcester, yeah, fine. Scott Williams to Ospreys. Omani, Peter Omani.
Considering move to England and France.
No, he's not moving. France. If he goes somewhere, it'll be France. It won't be England.
But the IRFU, surely if he is considering it, it would just be to basically make the IRFU match whatever money you can get in France. That's what... I'm sure someone else has done that recently.
Maybe, yes.
And they've called a couple of people's bluff. In terms of like Madigan and Zeebo. Oh, you're actually not that important to us. You can go.
Yeah, and it's amazing. Like when lads are outside the system, how much their value drops. I mean, Madigan has not been seen again.
Yes.
He's largely irrelevant now in the elite rugby picture.
It's very quick how people get forgotten, isn't it?
Omani, not so much. I mean, he was a Lions captain.
Yeah, and he's playing. He's so important for Ireland, the way that they play. Because of his work rate and his line-out work.
Well, no one's actually said he couldn't play for Ireland. Sexton did play for Ireland.
He did. That's true.
And Omoni's got credit in the bank. I mean, if they tell Omoni he can't play because he can't get the right amount of money in Ireland, that is disgraceful. Like, genuinely disgraceful. Let's play a little bit of... let's play a little thought experiment. Who in the Premiership would he most suit? Who needs him?
Ooh. Who needs a toughened six? Who's not a carrying six particularly, but his defensive work, his work around the park, his work at the breakdown, and his line-out work are all...
really strong.
Outstanding.
I know.
Go on.
I've got... ooh, do it. It's a bit controversial, this, because they already have a guy there who's very good. You think he's a six, not a seven?
Yeah. Yeah.
Harlequins could do with him.
Yeah.
If someone needs a bit of grit... mind you, Harlequins need a whole new coaching staff before they before they sign anyone.
Harlequins wouldn't be a bad fit, you know. Harlequins would be quite good.
Right sort of cash.
You have the balance of Rob Shaw and him. God, that's a hard-working pair of six and... Classy, hard-working pair.
Six and halves.
Yeah.
The other one, Leicester seems to be right. They've got a bit of a history of signing toughened Irishmen.
Yeah. He's not the right position for Leicester, though. As in, they don't spend money on sixes.
No, they don't really.
Unless it's homegrown Tom Croft. But they don't bring... yeah, so Leicester doesn't quite feel right.
Oh, Gloucester.
Gloucester would work.
It's a partner, Ackerman and Ludlow. Ooh.
And Morgan, if you get...
Big Ben Morgan, the finisher.
And Freddie Clark as well. I quite like Freddie Clark. I think he's not a bad player. They've got some good options. But yeah, he'd fit well in with an Ackerman team, wouldn't he?
Yeah, we are getting to a stage in rugby now, okay? Where if you're going to get a hardened, grizzled veteran, you're either rooted to the bottom of the table and you just need that instant boost immediately, or that the guy coming in has got to be utterly world-class and not just add to your playing squad, but add to your leadership.
Yeah.
Because you're taking away, like we've just said about Gloucester, you're taking away from Freddie Clark or Lewis Ludlow or Ruan Ackerman.
Or all of Pelledri, which are, Pelledri.
Yeah, all of which are very early 20s.
Yeah.
So the guy coming in has got to be not just a good player, not just their equal, but he's got to be much, much better and almost like a coach on the field type.
Yeah.
So, which luckily, I actually would think Peter O'Mahony would class as that.
Yeah, he's one of the few who does fill that role.
I know where he's going to go. Dragons. They're signing everyone.
Ah, yeah.
Heard it here first.
Right. That is far longer than it should have been. Sorry, Tim.
All right. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.